Good morning. That's much better than first service. There was like a 10-second awkward silence but after I said good morning. So good job. You've done good. Would you stand with us as we begin to worship this morning? you seated, take a moment to greet someone next to you. Shake hands, fist bump, say good morning.
Well, good morning. You guys can have a seat. I want to welcome you to Cornerstone again this morning. We've already had a great first service this morning. Looking forward to what God's going to do here during the second service. We've got a lot of things going on, so if you would, take out the worship guide that you got when you came in the door, and let me just point a few of these things out. Several things that you can sign up for to learn more about us and get involved with. We do have youth tonight from 6:30 to 8 that's here at the church for 6th grade through 12th grade students. We've got a Discover Cornerstone lunch coming up, and this is a great way. It's next Sunday after the second service next Sunday, and it's just a time for you to get to know the leadership at Cornerstone. If you're new here, to learn a little bit more about us, ask questions. We do need you to pre-register for this. So anyway, if you want to learn more about how you can get involved here at Cornerstone, this is your chance. You can sign up at the registration desk back there at the kiosk or from our website. But anyway, this is coming up next week. Then we also have a Super Bowl party here. February 1st, 6 p.m., we put the game on the big screen TVs up here, projectors, and it's awesome. We have a great time. We've got a special halftime show as well, so you can plan on joining us for that. We've got a Nicaragua mission trip coming up in June, and if you're even interested in that, go ahead and sign up for it. We'll get you the information about it. You can be praying about it. Now's the time to start doing things like getting your passport and getting things ready for that trip. So that's coming up in June. We've also got a soup kitchen meal coming up that we could use some help with. We've got on the back, there's some more announcements. There's a free community meal coming up at the end of the month that we could use some help with, and you can sign up for that. And we've also got a children's ministry volunteer appreciation lunch coming up in the middle of February. Lots of stuff on this list, lots of things coming up. In addition, next week and the week after, you'll be hearing a little bit more about our life groups. So if you're interested in leading a life group, if you would, let us know. And we'll be starting several new groups around the 1st of February. So you'll be hearing more about that next week. So all those things on here. Lots of stuff going on here at Cornerstone. Lots of ways to get involved. We're in a series called You Belong Here. And it really is about finding your place here at Cornerstone in the body of Christ. And I'm excited about what we're talking about today is about service. One last thing, I would ask that you be in prayer. Many of you know or heard about the passing of a young man from originally from Freeze, Brock Funk, and I know many people in here were connected to him in some way or fashion. Just be in prayer for the family and for the friends, and just kind of a tragic. He leaves a young family behind, and just please be in prayer for that family. So if you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we continue on this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be in your house this morning, that we can come to you in prayer, that even sometimes when the world around us doesn't make sense, that this is a sanctuary, this is a safe place that we can come to, that we can worship you, that we can lift up the name of Jesus. So this morning, as we continue through this service, help us focus on you. Help us just leave everything at the foot of the cross and just worship you for who you are and for what you've done. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You know, Mike mentioned Brock, and I grew up in Freeze, too, so Brock was, he was a year younger than me, so we grew up together. We played baseball together from elementary school all the way through high school, played basketball, football together, all these things. He was just an amazing athlete. He was better than anybody on the field, on the court, anything he done, he was better than everybody, but he didn't have that, you know, that arrogance that a lot of people have when they are better than everybody, you know, they know it. He was just an all-around humble guy. You know, he never said a bad thing about anybody, and I know that sounds kind of cliche, and you always say good things about people when they're gone, but it's really true. He was really a really exemplary human being. He was Christ-like in many ways, and, you know, the only way you could be that humble is through Christ. And like I said before in the first service, we know that he's with Christ this morning. We know that he's looking upon the face of his Savior, and we can celebrate that. So as we continue in worship, let's celebrate this morning. Stand with us.
This This life is a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. And if there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, just say amen. Darkness, it's hard to see. But just be brave and follow where He leads. 'Cause greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord's. And if there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and seen it time and time again, just say amen. Even in the valley of the shadows, when you feel alone in the unknown, just say amen, just say amen. Even when the storms are raging, stand and know you're not forsaken, just say amen. Is there anybody here? Come on, say amen. And if there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, come on and say amen. Anybody here found joy in the middle of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for have it all, my heart. Won't
God, we thank you for this time of worship, God. We ask, God, that you would open our hearts and minds, Lord, that you would show us how to love like you loved us, Lord. We ask, God, that you would speak through Mike as he brings the message this morning, that we would have open ears, open minds, open hearts, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When you hear the word home, what comes to your mind? What do you think about? Do you think walls? Do you think doors? Do you think carpeting, chairs, a roof? Do you think condo, pool in the backyard, that kind of stuff? Or maybe when you heard the word home, you thought of things like family. You thought of your wife, your husband, your kids. You thought of your mom and dad, and the talks you had around the kitchen table. You thought of the meals and the conversation and the laughs. You thought of the tears and the hard days, as well as the good. You thought of the people, not the stuff. You thought of the love, not the walls. You thought of the dreams and support, not the bricks. That's really what home means to us, isn't it? It's not about some structure. It's about the people. It's about the family. It's about love. So, hey, question time. Think about your church. Is this church your home? Is this church to you just bricks and walls and chairs and songs and sermons, or is it your home? Is this the place where you come every week like you would a grocery store, like the bank or the library, or any other place that's part of the Aaron List, or is this church your home? For you, it's the place you come to worship Jesus Christ with others. For you, it's the place you're challenged to grow in the Lord. It's the place where you belong to a community of believers who know your name and who care for you. It's the place where you roll up your sleeves and do your part. It's the place you sacrifice and serve in to build up. It's the place you pour out love. It's your family. It's your home.
Again, welcome to Cornerstone. We're in the third week of a four-week series called You Belong Here. And we're talking about what it's like to belong to a group of people, or belong to the body of Christ, and how we can all fit in together. And the reason we show little videos like that at the beginning is just to kind of help us focus in on where we're going for that morning. And it kind of makes us think a little bit. And it makes us really think about questions like, why does the church exist? Why do we have a church called Cornerstone right here in Galax? Why is it for the benefits of you guys? Is it for the benefits of the members? Or is it for the benefit of people outside of the church? Or is it for even something maybe even bigger? Is it for the glory of God? Those are the kind of questions we wrestle with and we talk about. And really, this series, it's kind of been interesting. It's really been a series on ecclesiology. Now, that's a big word, but it's really, ecclesiology is all about the study of the church and how it functions and why church leadership exists and what's their role and what's the believer's role and what's our response to those inside the church and what's our response to those outside the church. And it's really kind of been a study, if I kind of boil this down, it's a study on ecclesiology. Why does the church exist? And what are we called to do? And the reason this is important, if we all get together, we all understand what the church is and what we're called to do, it heads off a whole lot of problems from way down the road. And that's what I like about Cornerstone, I love about this church, is that together we are doing something. Man, God has called us to do something incredible here in Galax. One of the things we do each year that kind of reminds us that it's not all about us is our community Christmas offering. And I hadn't given you guys a complete update on that. We've been waiting for a few things to kind of come in. And the offering we took up right before Christmas, it was over $10,000. It's $10,100. So you guys did an awesome job. That's money that's going to go towards mission work. It's going to money that's going to go towards reaching people here in Galax and even supporting missionaries and all sorts of cool things we've got planned for that. The elders were waiting to the end of the year to look at our financial statements. We got those, and we decided to maybe round up just a little bit. So we rounded that $10,100 up to $20,000, just a small roundup there. So that's we rounded up, and then now get this, it's good. We take that, we put it with $30,000 that's already budgeted for missions this year. And so we, this year, 2015, Cornerstone is has budgeted $50,000 now to make an impact in this community and around the world. Guys, that's awesome. Isn't that? And that's for a church our size. I'm telling you, that's huge. I texted Mike Ayers, who kind of helps us oversee all of our missions stuff. And I texted him, "You're going to have a fun time this year, man. You're going to get to play Santa a little bit and distribute some money here, and it's going to be awesome to see what God does through that generosity." And that excites me. But the reason we do things like that, it's a constant reminder. This church, guys, we don't exist for our benefit. Yes, we learn and we grow, and God uses this place that we come together and these people that are gathered here for us to encourage each other and support one another. But really, when it comes right down to it, we exist so we can bring glory to God through everything that we do, through what happens here on Sunday morning, what happens through our everyday life. The reason we exist is not about, hey, let's have fun, let's make a name for ourselves. It's about, can we bring glory to God through everything we do? And it's kind of interesting this week. I read a lot of weird books, kind of research type books and study books and some things like that. I read two different things that were really a contrast in each other. One was a book that talked about the kind of church, and I would say there's different church types. There's like attractional churches that are all about Sunday morning and invite a lot of people. Let's do a great job on Sunday morning and see how many people we can get in the service and people get saved in that service. And it's kind of an attractional model of church. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people come, but that's one style of church. And then there's other styles of churches that are more are more kind of teaching churches, that it's all about, man, we just need to teach God's word and go deep in his word, and that's all people need. It's just God's word, and it's focused around teaching. And obviously, I mean, there's good things with all these models. And then there's a model of a church that's more what would be called incarnational or missional or externally focused. There's different words that are used, but it's about really living out your faith. It's about church being more than just what happens on an hour during Sunday morning, but it's about people actually living out their faith, being the hands and feet of Jesus, people taking the message and going out into the world. And out of all those different models, that's the one that I kind of tend to gravitate towards. It's the one that gets me excited and passionate, is when we take what we learn and we put it into practice. And so church is more than just, hey, y'all invite everybody, we're going to put on a big show on Sunday morning. Church is more than, we're just going to study. We're going to study. Church is, what are we going to do with what God has given us? And the article, the book I read, talked about some characteristics maybe of a church that's incarnational, or kind of a missional church. And it gave four characteristics, and I want to contrast this with churches maybe that are a little bit different. But the first characteristic was, an incarnational church is convinced that good deeds and good news cannot and should not be separated. And so a church that's making an impact on their community, that's making an impact outside of the four walls of the church, they're convinced that good news and good deeds cannot be separated. So we do good things, but we take the message of Christ and apply it to everything we do. Jesus did that when he sent out the disciples, right? He said, you're going to preach the kingdom of God, the good news, and you're going to heal the sick. That's the good deeds. They go hand in hand, just like two wings of an airplane. Good news and good deeds go hand in hand. You cannot separate one from the other. So in everything we do as a church, yes, we do a lot of good deeds, but the reason we do it is because we have good news that goes along with it. that make sense? And so those two things are linked together. The second characteristic is that the churches view themselves as vital to the health and the well-being of their community. So it's churches look at themselves and say, you know, we are a vital part of this community. We're not withdrawing from the world. In fact, we're engaging it. And we're not afraid of the world, but we're taking the message of Christ to the world. And so they look at their community and we say, our community is not going to be healthy unless we're a part of it. And so we're going to be involved in our community and take Jesus into many different spheres of life. And so we're going to be salt. We're going to be light. We're going to take this message of hope to the world around us. The third characteristic is that churches believe that serving and ministering are the normal expressions of Christian living. And so when you start thinking about that, that's really kind of interesting. You say, well, there's really no such thing as a believer who does not serve or a Christian who is unwilling to minister to others. And that's what my message is about today. So that's where we're going, okay? But they look and they say, you know, really, instruction is good, teaching is good, worship is good. But if we are not serving, if we are not ministering, we have missed our purpose. And so a church that's committed to being incarnational, they realize that ministry and service are essential. And then the fourth characteristic of a church like that is that they're effective in evangelism, because why? They're taking the message of Christ out to a world that needs it, to a world that's hurting. They're taking hope to the hopeless, and they're serving and ministering, and they're taking the gospel where it is needed most. And so those things, man, they jazz me up, if you can't tell. I mean, because you start talking about why the church exists and what we do, that's right at the heart of what we do. Now, I read another article that was interesting, because it was by Tom Rainier, and it was a research study by Lifeway Research. And what it did, they did a study of churches that were inwardly focused, that were declining, that were dying. And they said, okay, here are 10 characteristics of a church that's dying. A church that's so focused inwardly that they've lost sight of the mission of God. And these are the 10 characteristics they found again and again in churches that were inwardly focused. Okay, so these are good too. And I want you to be thinking about, which set of characteristics do you want to describe Cornerstone? The first was worship war. People wanted music in a different way. They wanted it my way. I don't like that. I don't like the electric guitar. I don't like drums. I want you to do it the old way, or I want you to do it a different way, or that's not what I want. So there was constantly battle about worship. Second, there were prolonged meetings. They had meetings after meetings after meetings, and nobody really did anything. They just talked about it. And maybe, again, you've seen churches like this. Maybe you've been part of a church like this. That, you know, the meetings are just, you stay busy just having meetings. The third thing was a facility focus. In other words, they were constantly worried about protecting and preserving the rooms, the furniture, everything about the church, building and grounds. It was like, man, we've got to protect it. You know, you can't have coffee in the sanctuary because you might spill it on the carpet. Or, you know, everything becomes about protecting and preserving. The fourth thing was a program driven. These churches were just about programs. You got this program and you got this program, and you don't really know why you do the program. You just do programs. An inwardly focused budget was another reason, where you have a disproportionate share of the budget used to meet the needs and comforts of the members inside the church. You had inordinate demands for pastoral care. And while, yes, everybody deserves care and concern, but when people think their demand expectations, even for minor matters, you run into trouble. And then you have attitudes of entitlement. You have attitudes of people demanding and thinking they need special treatment. You have a greater concern about changes instead of the gospel. In other words, anytime there's a change, people complain, get mad, get angry, and that leads to the next one, anger and hostility. You just have a church that's full of mad people. Right? I mean, we should be known for our love, but yet we got, you know, you're full of people who are angry and mad and are constantly complaining. And then the last one is evangelistic apathy. People don't share their faith, and they're not concerned about sharing their faith because it's about what happens within our group of people. Now, okay, there's two very different sets of characteristics. One describes churches that are serious about living out their faith, about being incarnational, about being missional, and one that describes churches who are inwardly focused and dying. Which kind of church do you want to be? You see now why we spend time in a series like that, getting back to ecclesiology, the study of the church, how the church functions, why we exist, and because in every one of these 10 characteristics of a dying church, what you see is that church members were looking out for their own needs and their own preferences. I want it my way. It's all about me. And the reason that we're talking about service, then we're talking about giving, and we're talking about putting others first, is because if we come together as a body of believers, we have to realize what we're called to do. Everything in our society, let's be honest, everything in our society teaches us that if we use our talents, we use them for ourselves. If we use them for ourselves, we can make a lot of money, we can retire, we can be comfortable, we can die happy. That's the American dream. You know, let's see how much we can accomplish for ourselves in our lifetime. But I think down deep inside, if you're honest with yourself, I think you realize there's more to life than that. There's more to life than just trying to get ahead and have more and accomplish more. And we know instinctively that there's a bigger purpose that God has for us, that we're called to make a difference for Him. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. It says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. And so that's really what we're talking about this morning. How do we serve one another? How do we serve together as the body of Christ? How do we put this into practice? We've all been given gifts. How do we serve? We've been going through our membership covenant. We'll be starting membership, and we'll be talking a little bit more. This whole series has been going through our membership covenant. We've talked about protecting unity. We've talked about sharing responsibility. This morning we're talking about service. And so we're kind of laying out the groundwork for what we're going to do here with this membership. It doesn't mean if you're not a member, you're not welcome here. Of course, we're going to still continue doing everything just like we're doing now. But membership, what it is you're saying, I'm agreeing to come into this body of believers. I'm on board with what you believe. I'm board with where we're going, and I want to be part of this. I want to partner with you to accomplish what God has called us to do. And so that's really what membership is. And when we look at this and say, okay, God has given each one of us a gift, and we're going to use them to serve together. Why? You look at Mark chapter 10. Why did Jesus come? He says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus has set the example for service for us. And so to talk about membership, to talk about responsibility, to talk about what it's like to be joined together, we cannot talk about it if we don't talk about service. Pastor John Stott, he says that there's always been a strong tendency within the church for Christians to withdraw into a kind of closed, evangelical, monastic community. And what he means by that is just like monks gather together and kind of close themselves off to the world. That's what tends to happen within churches today. We kind of close ourselves off. And he went through and looked at the word evangelism in the Bible, the word that we get gospel from. And he looked at the book of Acts. And you see that throughout the early church, and you see it in Romans, you see it in Colossians, you see it in Acts, 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews, 1 John, over and over and over again, we see that people within the church took on the responsibility of taking the message of Christ out. They shared their faith. They discipled others. They followed up. They nurtured. They cared for others. They taught people the Word of God. And that happened relationally. It didn't just happen on Sunday morning. It didn't just happen in the context of a church service. We see them in a community of believers go through the process of discipleship. And so when we look at Jesus and He calls us to make disciples, think about this. How did Jesus make disciples? Did He say, okay, guys, come on Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching, And he taught in the synagogues, but what did he do? When they were walking down the road, he said, guys, let me tell you a story. And he worked it into everyday life. And he taught them in day-to-day relationship. That's gospel-driven. That's intentional discipleship that Jesus did. And it goes far beyond, again, just listening to a preacher run his mouth on Sunday morning. What we see is it's real life. Discipleship, it's helping people to trust and follow Jesus. And we do that through ministry. I gave you a definition of ministry last week. Do y'all remember it? Okay, I didn't think so. So, ministry is meeting another's needs with the resources God has given you. Okay, that's a good definition. A lot of people in this room, you think, well, I can't get up in front of people and talk. I can't teach, or maybe I can't sing. And so I really can't do ministry. Well, guess what? When we really kind of narrow down, we look at ministry. It's seeing a need, and it's doing something about it. That's ministry. It's meeting someone else's need with the resources God has given you. And becoming part of a church, it's a vital part of that discipleship process where we can do this together. We do ministry together. We join together and say, okay, God, show us the need, and we're going to respond to it, and we're going to do something about it. Okay? And so let's talk about this third aspect of the membership covenant. And again, next week, what we're going to do is you're going to have a chance to actually join, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but the third part of this commitment, the elders are making commitments to you, but part of your commitment is you're going to say, I will serve the ministry of my church. And again, what's our definition of ministry? You see a need and you do something about it. You take the gifts that God has given you and you use them to make a difference in the kingdom of God. That's ministry. It's not having some special gift where you get to stand up and teach or sing. No, it's every single one of us playing our part. We're going to serve the ministry of this church. And so how do we do that? It's a few different ways. First way, we're going to pursue ongoing spiritual growth. Okay, the reality is here, guys, you can serve for all the wrong reasons. I've gone on mission trips. I've served a lot of places over the years. And sometimes, I'm just going to be honest, people serve because, hey, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. You know, people give. Why? Look at how much money I gave. People serve sometimes because they want a pat on the back. And they want to think, hey, I've accomplished something great. So look at me. It's not why we serve. If we serve, first of all, we've got to start looking at our own hearts. We've got to start with spiritual growth. We've got to start with looking at what it's like to be filled so that service is an overflow of what God is doing in our life. Okay? There's a saying I ran across that says, if you take in and you don't give out, you become fat. Okay? Right? If you just keep taking in, you never give it out, you're going to become fat. If you just constantly give out and you never take anything in, you're going to get faint. Okay, two-letter difference there. You're just going to give out because why? You're not taking anything in. But if you give out and you take in, you become fit. Okay, spiritually speaking, are you a fat Christian? Wait a minute. Better be careful here. Are you a faint Christian or are you a fit Christian? Really, I mean, are you taking in? Are you giving out? What's the balance in your life? Because I think when we start coming together and realizing, okay, God has given us a gift, God, are we growing in our faith? If we're growing and we're taking all this stuff in and we're never giving any out, we're never serving, we're never putting it into practice, we're never demonstrating love to others, all we're doing, we're just getting fat. And let's be honest, you look around the church today, not just at Cornerstone, but there's a lot of fat Christians, spiritually and literally. And so we've kind of lost focus a little bit here. What are we created for? And then there's people who are faint. They're just going and going and going. And then what happens? They burn out. Oh, it's somebody else's turn now. I'm just worn out. I've done all I can do. You know, they retire from ministry. Did you realize the word retirement's not in the Bible? right? You know that, right? You never get to a point in life and you say it's somebody else's responsibility. I don't care what age you are. God has a role for you within the church. So we pursue ongoing spiritual growth. In the city of Ephesus, there are a lot of people who love to sit and to read and to study, to debate the Bible. And so Paul wrote a letter to their young pastor, a guy named Timothy. And he wrote a letter to him and said, okay, here, it's good that you guys are studying, but all you're finding, you're debating, you're finding yourself wrapped up in these controversies. There's something more. 1 Timothy 1:5, he says this. He says, the purpose of my instruction, again, Paul speaking to a young pastor, Timothy, here, is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. So if we want to serve, here's kind of a recipe. One, we have a pure heart. How do we have a pure heart? Okay, we don't, you know, we take sin seriously. We live uprighteous lives, right? We take holiness and piety seriously, and we realize that there are consequences to sin. We live with a pure heart. We live with a clear conscience. We're not constantly saying, God, you know, we live uprighteous, holy lives. Why? Because we're holy because God is holy. And then we have a genuine faith, a faith that transforms us, a faith that saves us, a faith that it turns us to be more like Jesus. And so he say, okay, if you want to serve, if you want to be filled with love, this is what it looks like. You have a pure heart, you have a clear conscience, you have a genuine faith. And so again, we see that that service comes from that spiritual growth that's taken place in us. Oswald Chambers, who wrote the devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, this is what he said. He said, service is the overflow which pours from a life filled with love and devotion. He goes on to say, service becomes a natural part of my life. God brings me into a proper relationship with Himself so that I can understand His call, and then I can serve Him on my own out of a motivation of absolute love. So do we serve with the right reasons? What spiritual growth does, when we get serious about drawing closer to God, we serve out of that absolute love, out of an understanding and gratitude of what God has done for us. The second thing that we do when we come together, if we want to serve the ministry of the church, we've got to discover our gifts and our talents. Our gifts and our talents. Again, if we go back to 1 Peter 4, we each have a gift. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. It doesn't say, okay, maybe God has given you a gift, or some of you have a gift and some of you don't. No, God has given each of you. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been gifted. God has given you certain gifts. He's given you certain abilities. He's given you certain talents. And He has placed them in your life. And it goes on in verse 11. It says, okay, let's explain this. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. You've got a gift? Then use it. Okay, now help me understand here. In most churches, again, I shared last week, it's like 20% of the people do 80% of the work. So that means 80% of the people are really disconnected, unconnected maybe to what's going on in the life of most churches. Why is that? How do we do a better job of moving people from attending to participating in ministry? From just being a spectator to actually engaging and finding their talents and their gifts. If you have the gift of speaking, then you better be speaking as though God Himself were speaking through you. You have the gift of helping others, then help others. Don't just sit there. I mean, that's the message here. If you've got to learn, how has God gifted you? How has He, what talents has He given you? What has He done in your life that you can then share with others? If ministry is seeing a need and responding to it, what has God done in your life? How have you been ministered to? What is the gifting that you have learned about? 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, okay, we all have these gifts. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Why do we have spiritual gifts? It's for the common good of the people we're connected to. And in 1 Corinthians, we see a church that was active. We see a church, though, that had missed the point of why they serve. That's why there's talk about in 1 Corinthians, as you look in 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that whole passage there, you see a church that was worshiping the gift instead of worshiping the giver. You see a church that did not have love. 1 Corinthians 13 was not a passage about weddings. Love is patient, love is kind. It's a passage written to believers saying, when you serve, this is the type of love you are to have for others. And so the manifestation of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit working in you and through you, why? It's given for the common good. And so there's all sorts of ways we can learn about spiritual gifts. There's in Scripture, in Romans 12, it lists spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, it lists spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4, you see gifts. And so you see these different spiritual gifts that God has given us. They're supernatural gifts. Talents and abilities that God gifts believers with for the common good. There's many ways. We've even got, if you go to our website, if you go to mycornerstone.org/test, you can take a spiritual gifts test and just answer a whole bunch of questions. And it kind of helps you kind of narrow down maybe how God has wired you, how He has gifted you, maybe what you are passionate about. But I want to tell you an even better way to find out what your spiritual gifts are. You ready for this? Write this down. Do something. Okay? If you just do something, you're going to learn really quick if you like it or if you don't like it, if you're gifted or you're not gifted. Okay? I've told you before, if you would have asked me when, in my early 20s, Mike, are you going to be a pastor? I would have said, yeah, right. You're crazy. Why? I didn't like talking in front of people. If you would have said, is that your gift, teaching? I would have said, no. My gift is listening and being quiet and doing nothing. I don't want to talk. But it wasn't until I got put in a position where I had to teach. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to try it. We'll see what happens. If I fail, I fail. But at least I tried. Right? It's in those positions, in those sink or swim moments in life that we learn very quickly if God has gifted us in that area. And you'll see it, and sometimes, again, you discover your spiritual gifts just because you did something. And so if you're here today and you're saying, I don't know what my gift is, then volunteer in our children's ministry, volunteer in our community meals, volunteer wherever there's a need, you reach out and you meet that need, and you start discovering what God has created you to do. But just try something. Just do something. And that kind of leads us into what's our role as leadership then. If your role is kind of discover your spiritual gifts, we want to equip you to serve then. Once you figure that out, we're going to say, okay, we're going to come along beside you and we're going to equip you to serve. I like sharing it. It's like the role of leadership is like when you become a believer, you get this big empty toolbox. Then as you start learning and growing and you start understanding more and more about things of God, what we do as leaders, we give you the tools you need to put in your toolbox to leave this place and then put it into practice, to use them. That's what being equipped to serve looks like. We give you tools you need in life. We give you the knowledge. We give you the instruction. We give you the opportunities you need to then take what you have learned and show the love of Christ to this world, to take the gospel message that Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sins, that He died on the cross so that you could be set free and so that you have a new life in Christ now. That's what we're talking, when we equip you to serve, that's what it looks like. That's what we look at Ephesians 4. It's a passage I've read a few times during this series. I threw it up here this morning from the Message paraphrase, because I wanted you to look at it in kind of a new light this morning. It says that He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher. That's what God has done. He's given leadership gifts here to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. I like that picture. Moving rhythmically together, mature, efficient, graceful, right? fully developed, fully alive like Christ. And so the leadership of the church, we come together to equip you, to help prepare you for works of service, to help you find how you can be a skilled servant worker that doesn't need to be ashamed, that can rightly divide the word of truth, that can go out into a crazy world and say, this is what God says. And not only what this is what God says, but this is how we're called to live. And we do it with love. The reason I teach the Bible is not just so we know and understand the Bible. The reason I instruct you and the reason I preach and the reason I teach is so that we will go out and we will serve others, so that you will be transformed, so that you can be skilled, so you can be a servant. It's not just what happens here on Sunday morning. I've said it over and over, and I mean that so much that we are preparing you to live your life as an ambassador for Christ wherever you are. And that's part of this idea of what we do when we join together. As leaders, we're making that promise. We're covenanting to you that we're going to teach, we're going to model, we're going to help prepare you and equip you so that you can live your life this way. And the last thing, and this kind of wraps it up, is we want you to develop a servant's heart. Again, why do you serve? It goes back to your motivation. It goes back to your desires. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we read this passage, and it tells us about the mind of Christ. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. If you want to know what being a leader in the church looks like, that's a picture. The number one requirement for leadership, get this, it's humility. It's not, you don't serve because it makes you look good. You don't serve to make a name for yourself. You don't serve so you can add it to your resume or blog about it or put it on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. Why do you serve? It's because your heart has compassion. It's because your heart has love. It's because your heart wants you to live like Christ. Christ is our example. He gave up the divine privileges of heaven. He came to earth. He lived the life that we could not live. He died the death that we could not die. And what happened is he took upon him all of our sins so that we could have life. And we look at that, and I'm just telling you, humility is what we need. A disciple's heart is not focused on themselves. It's not on their privileges. It's not on what they're entitled to. It's finding their place to serve. And it's finding their way to glorify God through their life. That's what this whole membership idea is about. How can we do a better job of coming along beside you as leaders and helping you find that role, helping you come to that place in your life? Next week, what we're going to do, we're going to take the last aspect of this membership covenant, and you're going to have a chance to respond. You're going to have a chance to actually become a member at Cornerstone. After next week, then what we're going to do is every other month as we go throughout the year, there'll be a membership class where we're really teaching, in effect, what we've taught here through this sermon series, where we talk about the church and why we exist and asking people to join and partner with us. But next week is your chance, church-wide, for us to kick off this new process, this new way that we can join together. It's not so much about the label or what we call it. It's about this agreement that we're making a commitment to each other. as leadership, we're making this commitment. We're taking it seriously. And when we're called to shepherd God's people and to shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to us, who is that flock? How do we know? How are we committed in that type of relationship? That's what membership, this is all about. I'll tell you, as you look through Scripture, you see over and over and over again this idea of servant, this idea of service. And that's what we're called to do. Jesus even said in Mark 9, he said, anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. And so as a church, I'm begging you, I'm pleading you to say, let's get this idea of service right. When we, this church, yes, we come together, we encourage each other, we grow, and there's all these one another's that we have responsibility for. That's what we talked about last week. But yet we are called to see needs and to meet them. We're called to do ministry. We're called to take what God has gifted us with, the resources, the talents, the gifts, the everything that He has placed in our life. We're called to use them to bring Him glory. And my challenge to you, will you join us in that? Will you take up your cross and follow after Jesus and say, yes, I'm gonna represent Christ to this world who needs hope? Ephesians 3, Paul said it this way. He said, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. We don't do this in our own power. We do it through Christ working in us. And I hope you realize that this idea of service is not about us. It's about Christ. Why do we exist about church? As a church? It's to bring glory to God. The praise team's going to come back up. We're going to close out. And I just want us to take a minute to kind of examine ourselves, to look at our own heart. And I know there's people in all different places of spiritual growth and spiritual development and people at all different points along their spiritual journey that are in this place here this morning. But I want us to take a minute to think and to seek God's face. Would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads? Dear Heavenly Father, help us each to be able to answer the question, am I a servant? Am I a minister? Am I taking the gospel to a world that needs it? It starts, Lord, as we read, that we can do it from a pure heart and a clear conscience. And that comes when we confess our sins to You. Your word tells us if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, so this morning we confess there's sin in our lives. Maybe there's pride. Maybe it's immorality. Maybe it's whatever it's in our life that is keeping us from drawing close to You. This morning we confess it. We lay it at the foot of the cross. We need Your help. We need Your forgiveness. We need Your grace. We need Your mercy. Lord, we look to Jesus who died on the cross. He that knew no sin became sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so, Lord, we thank You this morning that we can look to the cross for forgiveness, for second chances. And we pray, Lord, that each person in this place would be able to say without a doubt, I'm in ministry because I belong to Jesus Christ. He has saved me. He has set me free. And He has given me a new purpose in this life. Lord, I just pray that each person in this room, as we examine our lives, we would be able to say without a doubt that we are born again, that You've come in, that we've put our faith, our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save us. And so this morning, as we prepare to worship You, as we prepare to leave this place, help us realize that this is just the beginning of our week. This is just spiritual preparation for a world that needs Jesus. Help us to leave here empowered and boldly taking the message of hope to this world. Lord, I thank You for this church and the way it serves and the way it reaches out and the work that's being done through the many people here. Help us to realize, though, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about bringing glory and honor to Him. Lord, we just thank You this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we close out this morning, guys, there's a communication card and a seat back in front of you. And on that, there's different ways you can respond. And maybe it's saying, I need to take the next step of baptism. Maybe it's saying, I want to put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ, and I want to be saved this morning. I want to be forever changed here in this place. And whatever it is, it's prayer requests, life groups you want to join, whatever it is, you can let us know on those cards. I'll be in the back if you want to pray, if you want to talk, if you have questions. But we're going to stand up and we're going to celebrate this morning what God has done and what He's going to continue to do. Thanks.
Gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Praises in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. You're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river.
Amen. Let's pray right quick before we leave. Father God, we ask that you would open up the heavens, Lord, that you would just help us to see you at work in this community, Lord. Work through us. Help us to engage in ministry and to share the gospel, Lord, the grace that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.